Now's the Time, episode 24. I'm Caleb Succo, and this is the podcast where we talk about how we can use our lives right now to worship our God. Have never listened to any of my podcasts before, this is the one you need to listen to. You know, friends, today it's not going to be one of those light and fluffy podcasts, although I'm not sure if I have really too many of those, but no, it's not going to be light and fluffy. This is going to be weighty. It's going to be serious. In fact, the content that I want to share with you today might not be pleasant for you to hear. It might even go against everything you have been taught about Christianity. And it might reveal some painful things about your life, maybe the direction you are going, or the focus that you have taken. I'm not going to give you any tips, not any tips about how you can improve your life or make more money or have better relationships or be more successful. In fact, if you take to heart some of the things that I'm going to share with you in this podcast episode, you might experience just the opposite of some of those things that I just mentioned. Instead of a better life, an easier life, a more pleasurable life, you might experience more difficulties, more hardships. It may actually complicate your life. And you're probably asking yourself, well, why would I even want those things? Well, you don't necessarily want to have a more difficult life. But some things are more important, friends. Some things have value to them. And that value is so great that if we make the right choice, if we make the wise choice, then we will be willing to experience some sort of suffering, pain, difficulties because of our value system. Now, before I share with you the main content that I'm speaking of right now that may not be so pleasant for you, let me give you some context. Let me give you some background. And the context that I want to give you is really some very historical events that have happened within the last 10 days in Ukraine. Now, if you've been following my blog, you know that I've had a lot of blog posts about what has been recently going on in Ukraine. I usually don't write so much about politics and all of that, but these things have been so significant that I had to write about them, because they will, I have no doubt that they will affect churches in Ukraine. They will affect ministries in Ukraine, they have already affected our family in many ways. And you know, I'm sure you know, if you've watched the news at all, that there have been protests going on for over 3 months in Ukraine. The demand has been for the president to resign. And these protests, especially last week, got violent. There were police who were shooting, and nearly 100 people lost their lives just last week, most of them by sniper fire. And then the president left, and a new government is forming. But it's not over. It's not over. And you might want to read that post. That's actually the last post that I put up. I think it was on Tuesday. You know, there is so much that lies ahead for Ukraine. So many difficulties that lie ahead for Ukraine right now. But I want to just paint a picture for you how this has felt for Ukrainians. Because we can watch that news. And, you know, I've watched news of protests and revolutions in other countries like Egypt. And I think some of that is happening in Venezuela right now. And I've seen it, and you kind of watch and think, oh, how terrible. But you know, when it happens to a country that you have lived in, when it happens on streets that you have walked, when it happens in a place where you have family and friends, it takes on a whole different meaning, friends. And so, if I could compare what has happened last week in Ukraine to something that has happened in the history of the United States in the recent 20, 30, 40 years, I would say that last week for Ukraine, that was Ukraine's 9/11. Do you remember 9/11? Do you remember where you were? Do you remember how you felt? Do you remember what you did? I can remember exactly where I was when I heard the news. It was shocking. It was saddening. I felt helpless. There was a certain fear. Those are all the feelings that many Ukrainians are feeling since last week. But there is sort of a difference. Imagine 9/11 happening in the U.S. You don't have to imagine that if you're old enough, which I'm sure most listening to this podcast are, because it was only 13 years ago. But 9/11 happened, and then the next day, the head of the army got on and said, you know, went on the TV or the radio and said, we authorized these planes to fly into these buildings. That's how Ukrainians are feeling. Because the head of the army did get on national TV and say, yes, we authorized the police to have combat weapons. And so not only have Ukrainians gone through the grief and the horror of seeing many of their people dying in the streets of Kyiv mainly, although some have died in other cities as well, but they have also felt very betrayed by the government. And then, if you can remember when the United States found Saddam Hussein, I was kind of rejoicing, everyone was excited, or maybe when we killed Osama bin Laden. Yeah, but that was years later. And literally, within the span of about 5 days, all of this happened. Ukraine's 9/11, and then the president of the Ukraine leaves, the opposition takes over, and many, not all, but many in Ukraine say, victory. victory. We have won. And so it has been quite a roller coaster for Ukrainians and for us as well, quite honestly. And let me now connect this with what I want to talk about. Here's the things, friends. People died. Mainly young men. People died. And when people die, when life is on the line, you know what? That changes everything, doesn't it? That changes our outlook. That changes how we think. When life and death are on the line, we are no longer thinking about how we can get a raise. We're no longer thinking about whether we should buy this model car or that model car. We are not thinking about how we should coordinate our clothes to make the best fashion statement. We're just not. When death and life are on the line, it changes our priorities. It changes how we think. It changes how we make decisions. And if you've watched in the news, you've seen that some of these who died in the protests were young men, of course, and they were unarmed. And I've seen some of these mass funerals in Kiev's Maidan, the Maidan Square there, where they bring the coffins in and there's several hundred thousand people there. And it's kind of heart-wrenching, you know? And they're calling these who die, they're calling them the Heavenly 100. These people gave their life for a cause that they deemed worthwhile. They deemed their cause to be of greater value than their personal life. And there's something to be said for that, friends. There is something to be said for that. Because like I said at the beginning of this podcast, there are things of value today. There are things of value that are greater value than your life. And I'm afraid that we have just forgotten that. Where the highest value has become myself. And if the highest value is myself, then I will never give my life for anyone or anything. Friends, there is a higher value than your life. There are still valid and good reasons to give up your life in this world. Now, those who died in Ukraine last week, you know, I can't tell you 100% for sure whether it was worth it. I hope and pray it was worth it, but I really can't tell you. Yes, the president left. Yes, they have a new government. Will it stay? We don't know. Will it provide honesty and justice for people? We still don't know. But yet those people believed that their cause was worthwhile. Let me tell you, I think that there are, if you look at the big picture, there are two main reasons, two worthwhile things that you and I can give up our lives for. And the first is just simply to protect the innocent. You know, my brother-in-law, Gabriel Giroux, he was killed by sniper fire in Iraq in 2006. And he was there protecting the innocent. I'll put a link in the show notes to, we have a little website dedicated to him. He gave up his life. That is a noble thing, my friends, to give up your life for those who cannot protect themselves. to give your life for another. In fact, John 15:13 says it this way, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. So we even find that in Scripture. Here is the ultimate proof of love. When you lay down your life and sacrifice your life for the sake of someone else. So that is a reason to protect the innocent. But there is another reason to give up your life, and it is a greater reason. It is a far greater reason. And yet, we don't want to do it. And yet, we are so hesitant, and I think sometimes scared of this reason. And the second reason is simply this. In order to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, Paul said something interesting. In the book of Acts, Paul was getting ready to go back to Jerusalem. And his Christian brothers and sisters in Christ who knew what he was planning to do, they were concerned for him because they knew he was putting himself into harm's way. They knew that there was a very good possibility that he could lose his life by doing this. And you know how Paul answered them when they warned him about these things? This is what he says in Acts 21:13. What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul was ready to die, and we know there are many other references in Scripture where he says that, listen, I am ready to die for the gospel. Notice also what Paul says in Romans chapter 14, verse 8. He says, for if we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. So, as a believer, when we belong to the Lord, and it is it's a proper reason to die, is to die for the Lord. We are His, and if He sees fit that we die as we preach the gospel, then you know what? We die in the Lord as well, and we are with the Lord. Why are we so worried about these things? We were at a missions conference the last few weeks in Idaho, and I really appreciated a fellow missionary who spoke, and he ministers in Iraq. And I won't mention his name for security purposes. But he said something along the lines of the following. I'm not quoting him necessarily exactly, but this is what I remember. He said, people are so worried about danger when it comes to sharing the gospel with Muslims. They are worried that they might be killed. And here's the thing. You can go on vacation and die. Or you can go and preach the gospel in an Islamic country or anywhere else and die sharing the gospel. And that is so true. And where would you rather give your life? Laying on a beach? Or preaching the gospel? Where would you rather give your life? Now here's the thing. Not every Christian will die as a result of preaching the gospel. But we all give our life away in some way or another. And I can put it this way. We either give our life away quickly, like those protesters who were shot by sniper fire, and in an instant, their lives were gone. Or we give our life away slowly over the process of decades. But we all give our life away for something or someone. And the question is, who are you giving your life away to right now? What are you spending your life resources on and giving it away one day at a time? Are you giving it away to Christ? Are you giving it away to yourself? Are you giving it away to your entertainment and to your cars and to your house and to your job? What are you giving your life away to at this very moment? You know what? I am deeply concerned about a Christianity that promotes live now. Or as Joel Osteen has put it, your best life now. Because when I look at scriptures, I don't see that. I see suffer now, live forever. Your best life as a Christian is not now, it is after death. And so many of us have gotten sucked up into this live now, live for yourself instead of die now, give up your life now. This is what Jesus said, Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." Too often, as the gospel is preached, it is preached like this: get a better life, instead of give up your life. You know, we've succumbed to what Kyle Eidelman calls snuggy theology. I just finished reading this book called Not a Fan, and I want to recommend it to you. I'll put a link in the show notes, so go to sukofamily.org/24. And let me read this quote. Kyle, you know what a snuggie is? It's like one of those big blankets with arms, right? It just makes you feel all warm and cozy. And this is what Kyle Eidelman says about snuggie theology. Quote, "Unfortunately, many churches have developed snuggie theology, where they try to make sure everyone is as comfortable as possible. The snuggie theology promises health and wealth to all who follow Jesus. Instead of promising you a cross to carry, they promise you a luxury car and a beautiful home. The message may still be preached from a Bible in a church, but certain parts are left out. And if you look around, my guess is that you won't see any crosses in the building." You know, isn't that so true? Many of these churches that promote live now, have the greatest life now, they have effectively removed and even actually removed the cross from the building. The cross that is the sign of suffering, the sign of giving your life up, the sign of sacrifice. They say, and they've made Christianity not about sacrifice, not about suffering, but about pleasure and getting what you want. I have to read to you another quote, because in C.S. Lewis's classic work, Mere Christianity, he really helps us to put into focus this idea that we need to die. We need to give up our lives completely. That is what Christ is talking about when he says, daily pick up your cross. And so let me read this to you from C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity. Quote, "Your real new self, which is Christ's and yours just because it is his, will not come as long as you are looking for it. It will come when you are looking for him." Does that sound strange? The same principle holds, you know, for more everyday matters. Even in social life, you will never make a good impression on people until you stop thinking about what sort of an impression you are making. Even in literature and art, no man who bothers about originality will ever be original, whereas if you simply try to tell the truth, without caring two pence how often it has been told before, you will, 9 times out of 10, become original without ever having noticed it. The principle runs through all life from top to bottom. Give up yourself and you will find your real self. Lose your life and you will save it. Submit to death, death of your ambitions and favorite wishes every day, and death of your whole body in the end. Submit with every fiber of your being and you will find eternal life. Keep nothing back. Nothing that you have not given away will be really yours. Nothing in you that has not died will ever be raised from the dead. Look for yourself and you will find in the long run only hatred, loneliness, despair, rage, ruin, and decay. But look for Christ and you will find him. And with him, everything else thrown in. How, end quote. How true. How true. When we try to save our lives, when we look to ourselves, when we try to amass things for ourselves, when we try to gain more pleasure for ourselves and more comfort for ourselves, we end up with what C.S. Lewis says, anger and rage and ruin and decay in our hearts. It is only when we willingly bring our lives in our hands before the feet of Jesus and say, "Here is my life. I give it up to you." It is then that Jesus gives it back to us. And not only does he give it back to us, but he gives us himself. And so, friends, today I want to ask you, what are you giving up your life for right now? What are you dying for right now? Is it Jesus? Or is it something else? And secondly, what do you need to change in order to give your life fully for Jesus? These questions, if we can answer them, will help point us in the right direction, because there are things worth dying for, and the greatest thing that is worth every ounce of life that we have is Jesus. Are you dying for Jesus? All right, friends, thanks for listening today. Please go by sucofamily.org/24. Leave a comment. Let me know. What are you living for right now? And what do you need to change in your life so that you can live and give your life to Jesus? Blessings.